Welcome to the Plain Label Podcast, episode 98.
Hey, you for real? I'm asking you to meddle a diamond for me here. Now, all I want from my end is 8,000.
What I'm saying to you is you should give it to somebody that don't know any better, because that's a Fugazi, all right?
That's a Fugazi? How do you know it's a Fugazi? You looked at it for 2 seconds.
Well, it's a fake.
Yeah, I know what a Fugazi is.
Hey, pal. You want to see something? I'm going to show you something. There you go. That's something? That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. But it's not my thing. What about this?
What do you want me to say? Go ahead, try and sell it. You want to be a Donsky? Give it a shot.
Donsky? You call me a Donsky? You know who you're talking to, my friend?
Hey, left. Come on, have a spritzer.
You want to go embarrass yourself with this thing?
Embarrass myself, hey. My family, my children, my mother can hold her head up in any neighborhood in the city when she walks down the block. See, in all the 5 boroughs, I'm known. Forget about it. I'm known all over the fucking world. Anybody ask. Anybody about Lefty from Mulberry Street. Huh? You pissing up the wrong fucking tree, my friend.
I didn't mean no disrespect. It's a misunderstanding, right?
Here you go.
All right?
Sit down there. Well, you gonna walk out on me? You don't walk out on me. I walk out on you. You got a car?
I got a car.
Well, let's go get your car.
Hello. Welcome to the Plain Label Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Zelag, and along with me, I have my good friend and co-host, Eric.
Eric, I didn't.
Georgiana Williams.
That is Eric, I didn't prepare a middle name, Williams. Hello.
Georgiana.
By the way, Georgiana. I like it.
In this episode, we are continuing on with our theme of movies about the mob, with a discussion on the films Donnie Brasco and City of God. Before getting into our discussion, we will mention that we are brought to you by the Deliberate Noise Network. Get your asses to DeliberateNoise.com and check out some of their other shows over there. Drink, roll call time. Eric, are you drinking the Mighty Brew?
I am drinking a brew that I would describe as mighty. It is from a local brewery, the Zipline Brewing Company, that we recorded at not too long ago. And it is a limited edition of theirs. It is a black IPA. Rachel would hate it.
You should see the face I just made.
Yeah, the old, ooh, something smells bad face.
Yeah.
And it is 8% by volume, and it is like it's basically like a mix between an IPA and a stout. Is kind of what it's like.
Oh, God.
It's dark like a stout, obviously, with it being called a black IPA. And it is...
So what's it called? I want to get fucked up.
It's called Zipline's Black IPA Limited Edition. But it's quite good. It's definitely not a with dinner kind of a beer. It's kind of a, you know, afterwards just a sipping kind of beer.
It doesn't pair well with cheese. It pairs well with desperation.
Yes, I like that. Desperation and frustration, we'll say.
There you go.
How about you?
I'm also drinking a limited time beer. I have switched from pumpkin officially and gone on to Sam Adams White Christmas.
Ooh, that is much different than what I have.
Yeah, no, mine is light and wonderful and full of happiness, and you're drinking that.
It matches my insides right now, so. All right, well, that's good. That kind of sums us up, you know, in a nutshell.
Today, yeah.
Yeah, you got the nice... bright, airy little white Christmas ale. And I get this, oh, God.
You got this fluffy sugar, dude. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So there you go. All right. Well, let's kick off our discussion. Both of these movies, we should say, are based on true stories. But we're going to start off our discussion with the film from 1997, Donnie Brasco.
When I introduce you, I'm going to say, this is a friend of mine. That means you're connected, gang. Now, if I said instead, this is for the house, that would mean you were made guy. A capiche?
When Lefty brought Donnie into his world.
Who's this guy? This is Donnie, a friend of mine.
He took a risk on a kid he hardly knew.
And I'm gonna have to school you, my friend.
School me in what?
Wise guy never carries his money in a wallet. See? Always in a roll. Bina on the outside.
He gave him his trust.
You gotta get rid of that mustache. And get yourself a pair of pants. Just like me.
He loved him like a son.
Nobody can touch you because I represent you. Keep your nose clean, follow the rules, be a good earner, and maybe one day when they open the books, you become a wise guy. I'd die with you, Donnie.
But he never knew the truth.
There's a war going on in that mafia family, and that is where Joe is undercover.
Donnie! Come here!
I want to know where my husband is.
We don't know.
You're going to freeze up? No. A lot of guys freeze up.
You said it was going to be 3 months. It's going on 3 years.
Who he's with and who he's close to, they're all the top dogs now. He's right in the line of fire.
There was a rat in Florida, Donnie.
You know what to do when you find that rat, right, Left?
Could be I found him already. In our thing, you get sent for, you go in alive, you come out dead, and it's your best friend that does it.
We have got to pull him out. You think I'm a rat?
How many times I have you into my own house? If you're a rat, then I'm the biggest mutt in the history of the mafia.
If I come out, Lefty dies. They're gonna kill him. Because he vouched for me. Because he stood up for me. That's the same thing as if I put a bullet in his head myself, do you understand?
Who am I? I'm a spoke on a wheel, and so are you.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
Let's take a walk.
I'm your best friend.
In the 1970s, FBI agent Joe Pistone goes undercover and infiltrates the mob in New York City. Using the name Donnie Brasco, he befriends mafioso Benjamin Lefty Ruggiero. As time goes by, Pistone begins to identify and care for his mafia friends, especially Lefty. Pistone is married and has children, but he is away for weeks or months at a time, eventually leading to his wife asking for a divorce. When he stops reporting to the FBI daily, as is required, his superiors decide the time has come to pull the plug on the operation, based on a true story.
Mm-hmm. All right, so this was my selection. This was a movie that I saw back in the late 90s. It was a rental, and it was one of those where I felt like at the time I wasn't quite as snobbish as I am now, clearly. But I thought it was going to be sort of a little bit of a passing of a torch in terms of big time actors and headliners. And I was like, okay, this is Al Pacino going out sort of, and Johnny Depp sort of, taking the Hollywood leading man role.
Okay.
And really started, you know, trying to become like a big name, not like a weirdo, you know? I was like, okay, this is Johnny Depp being Johnny Depp, you know, and not Johnny Depp being like a weird guy.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, so that's what you thought after you watched it or before?
That's what I thought before.
Okay.
And I remember watching this back in the day and just kind of thinking, all right, and being really kind of underwhelmed. And when we decided to go with mob movies, I was like, oh, I should try Donnie Brasco again, because I didn't remember anything about it at the time. And mm-hmm. I was kind of like, okay, well, maybe it's something that I overlooked. That being said, this time around, I did like it quite a bit more than before. I don't know that I was in love with it, but I did enjoy it for the most part. And I think that Johnny Depp is quite good in the mm-hmm. film. And we can talk about what I think about Al Pacino in a little bit. But what did you think of Donnie Brasco in a first watch, I'm guessing?
Well, the first time I actually watched this was 2 days ago.
Oh, yes.
And... And I, it didn't change my life. I didn't write in my journal about it too much, but, I thought it was really interesting, the way, cause like when I think of like infiltrating the mob, I immediately think of like Departed.
Yes.
And so Departed, they give you the whole backstory and blah, blah, blah. But this, you're like right in the fucking shit of it. And I really liked that. Where you, like, he's there, and he's talking, and you're not really sure what's going on. You know that, like, there's some interaction between them. And then he goes down the adorable typewriter and writes down his orders. And so I really liked that, that it wasn't like, this is a backstory, he grew up here, you know. They're just like, all right, we're throwing you in, and you get to figure out what's going on, which obviously it wasn't like, you know, a 2,000-piece puzzle or anything. You figured it out pretty quickly, but... and so that was, and I thought that was good. I did like, you know, like the more he was like kind of infiltrated in the mob, the more he, like took on the, forget about it. You know, talked more like that.
In a really small scene with Paul Giamatti there.
Yes!
And I was like, whoa, wow. Like, holy, way back in the day for Paul Giamatti. Let me stick on something real quick. I also noted that the no background was interesting and no real, trouble getting in, you know, into the mob. I was like, wow, this was really easy to get in there.
Yeah. And I kind of, I'm going to go down to the bar and do,
I was like, all I got to do is, you know, just kind of say, forget about it. And, you know, that's
forget
it.
About
until.
And know your jewelry.
Yeah, until months and months later, and then maybe I'll have some problems. But I was like, wow, that's not so bad. You know, like, that's not too tough.
The thing that I thought was also interesting is, like, when you have those movies, you know, like, I just picture, like, Leonardo DiCaprio making more comparisons, like, being so nervous all the time. And you don't, I didn't get that from his character, like, when Lefty came up to him and was talking to him, and he's like, what do you know about jewelry? And he was just like, fuck, I don't know. Like, he was, like, super cash about the whole thing.
It's a fugazi.
Yeah, it's a fugazi. So, I don't know, I don't think it's that easy to infiltrate the mob, but of course I've never tried it before, so maybe in the 70s people are a little more open.
Yeah, not that you talk about it anyway. It's a dark couple weeks.
Right. Yeah, no, I that's why I had to change my name.
That's so when you weird. Were, it's when you were drinking the black IPA.
Blah, blah.
Yeah. So, yeah, so I just thought that that was, I did appreciate that they didn't bog you down, because the film, it's a longer film, like it's 2.5 hours.
Right.
And so I did like that it wasn't, okay, well, here's where Joe Pistone came from, and here's why he decided to join the FBI.
I totally agree.
So I was glad to see that. The only drawback is it does seem like really, really easy to get in, because I thought that Al Pacino's character, like, he seemed fairly high up, right? Like, he's only a few places removed from the Don.
Yeah.
Main guy. And he's not, you know, it's not like he's not connected or something. And I was like, wow, that is a really high up guy just to be connected with immediately. So, I don't know. That's kind of like the give and take from not setting it up as much.
Yeah, that's true. But he seemed to be, like, troubled, so maybe that was, like, something that he saw, maybe, like, a version of his son that wasn't on drugs.
That's a good point.
So, I don't know. I'm just trying to make excuses for, you know, Lefty.
Well, it just seems like in another film, a choice that could have been made would have been either a flashback or some kind of scene stating why they were singling out Lefty. And saying something like, you know, he'll take you in as a son because his is all fucked up.
Right.
And that is very on the nose, but I could see that that could be done in another film. And I don't know if I would have liked that or not, but that was another option that I thought of.
Sure. Yes. So. I mean, maybe it's just because he's fucking Johnny Depp and he's awesome. So that could also be everybody wanted him in their group and he just happened to pick the mob.
Even with the mustache.
Oh, man. No, he looks like Mordecai with that mustache.
So what else did you, think about this one, Cruz?
I think of these people as mobsters. Do you know what I mean? Like, the next movie we talk about, I don't really, that's not my initial go-to. Sure. So, like, I always like the, you know, like the verbiage I think is hilarious. The whole forget about it scene was like awesome. It's like, it reminded me of like when George Carlin does that routine about how many ways you can use the F word.
Oh, yes.
And so I was like, oh, you can use that as a verb, or if he's like, you like that, it's like, oh, it's the best cop, forget about it. So, like, I really enjoyed that. Anne Heche.
Mm-hmm.
Heche. I don't really know her in a lot of movies. I think she does, like, romantic comedy, so right there you're going to lose me. But she looked really adorable in this movie. Is she, like, 20 years old?
You know, I really liked her in this, too. I thought it was... I don't know. I was really, I was looking at her going, who is that? That looks like someone that I know. And I looked it up and I was like, what? Anne Heche? Really? Holy shit. Okay.
Yeah, I saw her name in the credits and I was like, oh, we get some wrinkled old, and I was like, oh no, she looks wonderful. I mean, despite her horrible thick accent, but like, yeah, she was surprisingly,
well,
I mean, it's,
and the particular scene that I thought of that I thought she was really good in was when she is in the house and Johnny Depp is there and the FBI guy comes in.
Yeah.
And they're going to meet in the basement and she's just kind of like awkwardly like standing there,
right,
but trying not to look awkward and like moving her arms slightly and just like it's very, very uncomfortable. And the FBI guy is just staring her down.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I was like, that made me feel uncomfortable for her. And up until that point, I know they're trying to, you know, pull on your heartstrings a little bit with her character and like the issues that she's having. But up until that point, I didn't care about her at all. And then as soon as we have this real uncomfortable situation, and then I was like, oh man, this sucks for her. And then for whatever reason, I was really attached to that character. Even though most of the way through the movie, for whatever reason, I wasn't. And so I wrote down that I was like, what a weird scene for me to be like, oh, now I'm on your side because you felt awkward. Because before I was like, oh, quit whining.
Yeah.
You know, that was kind of my impression. But then, you know, I felt bad for her, I guess. And then I was like, okay, now I get it now. I see it.
Yeah.
Especially when he smacks her, I was like, oh, God damn it.
You know what? Like, I just have to say, the role of most women in these types of movies is like naggy bitch or punchy bag.
Oh yeah.
And it is obnoxious. They need to do a mom movie about where fucking girls are in charge and they, like, they're the ones doing the slapping. Cause that'd be sweet. I would watch that.
What about the role of Gretchen Mol? Do you remember Gretchen Mol?
What's that?
She's in Rounders. She's Matt Damon's wife in Rounders. Or girlfriend, and then she is The Shape of Things. That was one of our early movies, and she was the girlfriend in that. And in this, she's just Michael Madsen's girlfriend at the beginning. It's like one of her earlier films, and she just comes in and is like, "Hey, I heard you guys are mob guys," and like, just straight out flirting with all of them. Yeah,
yeah.
I was like, "Whoa, Gretchen Mol, what are you doing? Oh, you're just okay. You're just flirting, and that's it."
Just here for, I mean, like, Godfather, his wife had kind of a stronger personality after a while, I guess.
Well, Goodfellas, the main woman in that, she's...
Oh, yeah, yeah, she's got a little snark to her. Good for her.
Good for her.
I'm just saying, like, if I had to be around these type of people, I feel like you would grow a tough skin and be like, fuck you. Like, you have to.
You'd either be really tough or you'd be so spineless and just, like you said, a punching
bag. Like, Lefty's girlfriend, like, oh, I can't cook at all. Blah. Like, she could jump out a window and I wouldn't care. She was the worst.
Yeah, she was a certain type.
Yeah.
Not my favorite. And what's bad is, you know, those are probably the things that are fairly realistic. You know, like, those are things that are pretty close to real life, I would guess.
Yeah.
Is those portrayals.
Well, it's based on a true story, so.
Well, oh yeah, I got that, I guess. But, yeah. But those are the things that I would imagine those are fairly accurate. Let's talk a little bit about Al Pacino.
Why don't you go first?
Okay.
Sounds like you have a little bit to say.
Yeah, if I can get it out. I have, I don't know, I have a lot of respect for Al Pacino, but I feel like this is the tipping point where he was like, full on, hoo-ha, you know, Al Pacino. And was just so big and over the top. And I was like, whoa, this doesn't seem right. Because I felt like, for the most part, that Johnny Depp was playing it pretty quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like that Al Pacino was trying to make every scene like his Oscar-winning scene.
I totally agree.
It just seemed like it was, look at me, look at me, look at me, every scene.
Well, when he came up to him at the very beginning, I'm like, okay, well, this must be the mob boss because of how he was, like, carrying himself. And then you find out that he's, like, I wouldn't say lowly, but he's, like, down the rungs a couple.
Yeah, he'd been passed
in
over.
In the very beginning, they're, like, three dons away from being up top. And he kept saying that he's passed over, but he doesn't act like it. He acts like he's the don and, like... Sometimes. And yeah, I totally agree that they probably were just like writing in the script, do Al Pacino things.
Yeah. And like, I don't know. Scene.
Yeah.
It's rare for me. Like there's times where I'm watching an actor and I'm like, oh, I didn't really like him or I didn't really like that performance, but I was watching this and I'm like, well, I don't know. I like Al Pacino and this is, you know, this wasn't, you know, him in the 70s when he was doing a lot of, you know, really famous work, but I was like, boy, I don't know what I think of this. Like, I'm not loving his performance here. Like, I don't know. I mean, he did Heat, not too long before this, and that was a big deal because it was Pacino and Robert De Niro, and, you know, they had never really, worked together in a main way, but around this time, he wasn't doing that much because he did Glengarry Glen Ross in 92, In Scent of a Woman in 92, Carlito's Way in 93, and then he did Two Bits, which I've never heard of, and then Heat in 95, City Hall in 96, and then Donnie Brasco and Devil's Advocate in the same year in 97. In Devil's Advocate, he's playing Satan, and he's way over the top, just screaming and yelling and just, you know, very, very big in that performance. And so I don't know if they just were like, yeah, just do that. I'll just do whatever you want.
I mean, I can imagine that happening, to be honest. Cause like, you know how, I mean, when you think of him, you think of what's the noise he makes?
Hoo-ah!
Hoo-ah! You think of that. He's obviously, I wouldn't say like super, I mean, actually he's pretty typecast. And so like, they were probably like, all right, these are big movies. Just like, do that. And they're like behind him. And he's like, I don't know if I should. And they're like, you totally should. Like, I can just see them like egging him on, being like more ridiculousness. And so I don't know who them is. I'm just making up things.
But. Yeah. I mean, you would place it upon the director and looking at his body of work. He's done a lot of things, but you know, Enchanted April, Into the West, Four Weddings and a Funeral, I've at least heard of.
Mm.
Pushing Tin, Mona Lisa Smile, a Harry Potter movie, and Prince of Persia he did.
Oh, I love Prince of Persia.
So he's, I mean, he's done a lot of stuff, but not really a mob director. Like, not a guy who's done a lot in that field, and not a ton of huge actors, really. So maybe he just kind of got overwhelmed by the Pacino.
Sure. Pacino's like, I'm going to come in and do Pacino stuff. And he's like, all right, whatever you say, sir.
He's like, nah. I'm doing it like this. And you're like, all right.
Can you tone it down a tad? Is this toning it down?
You fucking Fugazi. You know, not it.
Jackson over here to yell at you too.
He's like, dude, just call it Fugazi. No, it's got to be Fugazi. You're like, ah, geez. You're not straight from Italy, guy. You're like, you're not Italian. Just chill out.
Is he Italian, though?
Well, I mean, he's not like, you know what I mean? He's not like from the boat like kind of thing. Yeah, I don't know if that's offensive. That wasn't meant to be offensive. So, a little bit about this movie. The budget was $35 million. It made $42 million, roughly. And so not a huge hit. Not a huge hit. But, you know, it made $7 million and with a lot of, you know, a lot of advertising and marketing and all that sort of thing is allegedly, either half or equal to the estimated budget sometimes. So it could have been about $17 million or it could have been up to $35 million also. So the film didn't do that well, basically, is what I'm saying.
I wonder why. I mean, I feel like in the 90s, these two guys together in a mob movie, people would be like, nice.
Yeah, I think it could have been because the film, I don't know, you just kind of walk away from it going, all right, yeah, that was all right. You know, like, it's a real renter of a movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's not a, oh, God, we got to go out and see that shit.
Donnie Brasco!
You don't really see a lot that's a big screen ad. You know, it's not like, oh, man, this was, if you didn't see this in on the big screen, you fucking missed it.
Yeah, and there aren't, like, one-liners, you know?
Sure.
Like, taglines or, like, stick around, you know, the good ones.
Yeah, you're not like, oh, man, you got to go back and see how this guy says this thing. You got to see how he says Fugazi. Fucking shit. Let's talk a little bit about either favorite or least favorite scenes. My favorite scene was, besides the one with Anne Heche and that uncomfortable bit, was the Japanese restaurant scene.
Oh, gosh, so awkward.
That was the only time where I was really nervous for Johnny Depp.
Agreed. Very much agreed. Yes.
And so I'm watching it going, oh, shit. Oh, no. Like, no, this is going to go terribly. No, kick that guy's ass. Yeah, fucking get him.
But, like, honestly, can't you... You have long sleeves. Can't you take your boot off and let it slip into your, like, sleeve? I feel like he could have been way cooler about it.
I don't know. Maybe it was a big-ass tape recorder, because this is the 70s.
Right, I guess. So. My other question is, how long had he been, like, mob-oriented at that point? Because the fucking leader of the mob... of their group, just immediately is like, all right, let's kick this guy's ass.
Oh, Sonny, Michael Madsen's character, yeah.
Yeah, like he has so much pull at that point that he's like, I mean, like, he obviously makes up this horribly racist story about why he can't take his shoes off, and everybody's just like, all right, cool, let's fucking kick this guy's ass. Like, I wish I had that kind of pull with my friends. I don't know.
Maybe you do, and you just don't know it.
Maybe. I can give it a shot. Let me see if we can get people beat up.
You're like, Sadie, let's fucking roll this guy.
Okay, that doesn't count.
Oh, that's true. She's your I'm in guy, so.
Yeah, that's very true. Mm.
So, yeah, that was a scene that I particularly liked. And then I thought that the end was pretty effective. I did like that, you know, they're like, oh, there's some dumbass. Let's just go. You can shoot him, and that's your first thing. You know, and then you'll be a made man.
Yeah.
And so I think it's so weird because usually in mob films, someone is joining the gang and it's like right away, okay, here's what you have to do. You have to go kill somebody. Because when we had the Iceman.
He was going to kill that guy anyway.
Yeah. And when we have City of God with some of the littler kids that we'll talk about in a little bit, where as soon as they're in, or maybe sometimes even if they're not in, it's like, well, you got to kill somebody now. And they didn't really put the cop in that position. And I was like, really? Is that the way they did things in the 70s? Or did they used to do things that way?
So easy being in the mob.
Yeah, and now they don't anymore. And
to be fair, he did have to saw the leg off of a dude.
Ooh, that was gross.
Yeah, that was gross.
So, I don't know. So when he finally goes to have to kill the guy, and I'm like, oh man, is he going to do it? Oh shit. And I was, you know, I was completely unaware of what time it was in the film. It wasn't like, oh, we have 5 minutes left. Some shit happened.
Right.
And I was just kind of watching it, and I was like, oh, the cops, what? Oh man. You know, so that got me pretty good. I did enjoy that.
Yeah. I just, like, I guess the ending for me wasn't really that great.
Oh.
I like that scene, but then they, like, go and completely rat him out, which is, like, I feel like not FBI protocol, by the way.
Yeah.
Throwing it out there. I feel like...
Yeah, that was strange.
They're like, by the way, this guy? Fucking FBI. Congratulations. And then they just walk away, literally walk out of the bar, and, like, you know that they're gonna... But then they don't. Like, you think, oh, he's dead.
Yeah.
They just scoop him over, but they're like, he can't be FBI.
They're like, oh, that's bullshit.
That's Photoshop. Like,
in 97, he's like, dang, dude, they got that strong dial up, and they just Photoshop
the shit. Yeah, in the 70s. They're like Illustrator. They use, like, Adobe on this. I don't even know. But.
fucking Adobe won't quit asking me to update.
God, seriously. 70s. But how well did he infiltrate himself where they like don't believe FBI agents and photos? Cause they don't. They're like, ah, it's alright. But then it ends. Like, you don't get them going, where is Donnie?
Yeah, like, you know? Well, wait a spec. Yeah, because, yeah. Well, they think he's arrested for a little while. But it wouldn't forever.
That was just kind of an odd ending for me. Like, and the FBI needs to just calm down. And, like, the whole thing with the Miami guy was weird, too, when they had to go to Florida.
Yeah, that guy looked like Randy Quaid, but skinnier.
Yeah.
He's got the bulging eyes, and I was like, oh, man, you're going to fuck things up. And then he didn't really. He didn't mess things up that bad.
Yeah, just the bar was ruined.
Yeah. I mean, the cops came in and ruined the bar, and it was like, oh, big wow. It was like a plant bar from the cops anyway, so I didn't really...
From the
FBI cops, so I was like, well, whatever.
But, like, I must have at some point been, like, felt sorry for Lefty, because I felt bad at that point, because I'm like, oh, this was, like, kind of his, like, thing. But then he got kicked out of going to Florida anyway, so...
Yeah, well, how about the sequence where Al Pacino knows he's going to get killed, and so he starts taking off his rings and putting them in the drawer and leaves the drawer open so his girlfriend can find his stuff.
Oh, at the beginning where he knows he's going to get
shot? At the end when he's going to get shot. Because then it goes to black and then you just hear a shot after he walks out the room. You know what I mean? You remember that, Cruiser?
No, apparently not.
Because at the end, when he's putting all of his things away, right?
I thought the very end was like they're standing outside that building and they're getting pictures taken of them through the window.
I don't think so.
Did I miss a part?
I think you might have. Maybe I'm crazy. I've got a lot of shit on my mind.
Then it went to the thing that said, like, Donnie Brasco put away a bajillion mobsters.
Yeah, I saw that.
Somewhere else, and his name is Frank Frankincense or something.
His name is Frank Frankincense. That is unfortunate that you just, you know, told the world. Yeah, it's so Frankincense. Fugazi. That's what his name is.
So he does get shot at the end, then. Well, Lefty does.
Yeah, Lefty puts all of his stuff in a drawer, like I said, and he leaves it open, because I distinctly remember that. And he tells the girlfriend not to wait up for him.
Okay.
And then he walks out, and then you it's just black, and then you hear a gunshot. So it isn't meant to be like he's waiting in the hall, but eventually it happens.
So are we led to believe that he's getting shot because Donnie Brasco is an FBI agent?
Yes.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Why we talk about the movies?
There we go. That's...
Don't just watch them and go on my merry way.
Yeah, don't just say, hey, here's your assignment, watch this movie, and then we're going to pick some more. You're like, yeah, did you watch that? Sure, dude.
Sure, I give it a 4 out of 4.
Fucking Fugazi, bro, whatever.
Fucking Fugazi.
But no, so I thought I did like that sequence, though, because I was like, oh, man, this is a drag, because he's... You know, he knows what's coming, and he's slowly taking off all of his jewelry and his necklaces and all that kind of
stuff. Yeah, but he, like, shot his best friend in the head, no fucking qualms about it, so he can just... Sorry, karma's a bitch.
Well, I don't know. I guess if I was going to be killed in the mob, I would rather have someone just shoot me and me not really even know what was going on, as opposed to me walking to a place where I know I'm going to get shot.
Well, don't be in the mob. I mean, I feel like...
But it's so easy, though, I thought.
I know. All you have to do is be at the bar. You want to be in the mob? Oh, my God, yeah. Maybe they have, like, mob.com where it's, like, match.com.
Oh, yeah. Maybe it's like a Tinder deal where you can join different mobs and you swipe left or right.
Johnny Two Toes, swipe left. I don't know which one keeps or not.
I don't know. That's what sucks about not being single. It's like, my reference is that right? Is that reference right?
I'm single. We do... Thing single.
I go out, right? I have that single stamina until about 9:45. Shit, I gotta get home and watch some Top Chef.
Seriously, if you don't watch the Netflix, it wears out.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Is it true that if you don't use it, you in fact lose it?
You do, yes.
Oh, okay. Well, anything else about Donnie Brasco before we move on there, Cruiser?
No, I liked it. I thought Johnny Depp was really good in it. I thought his going from like FBI guy to mob guy. I felt like he wanted to stay in the mob at the end, and then they just didn't give him a choice.
Yeah, I could have really, I could have gone without the strand, the like Bieber bangs that were developing at some points.
Ooh, yeah.
Like the 80s bangs that were coming out. Like, yeah. It was like the Skeet Ulrich from Scream sort of look. I was like, ugh.
Murphy.
It's like, ew, what are you doing, Johnny? Put the hair behind the ears, buddy.
Right. I knew he was the killer the whole time anyway. I wanted him to like be in the mob at the end though. I wanted him to be like, I'm just going to be in the mob.
He
does the crossover.
You feel like that's the drawback of having it based on a true story?
Yeah,
it's like, dude, it's a better story. Just have him become part of the mob now.
Because he loves him so much, like a way better family than his naggy wife and his dumb kid.
Yeah, fuck them. They try to, you know, make him give money back and stuff and then hide it.
Right? Ugh, just give him the $30,000.
Just give him the money.
$300,000, yeah. I don't know. So I did like it. Yes, good times.
Yeah, I liked it too. I don't know if it's a purchase, but it's definitely a, you know, check it out. Via Netflix or if it's ever on Instant or something like that, that'd be a good way to check it out. All right, so before moving on, we should mention that Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook of your choice and a free 30-day trial membership. Just go to audibletrial.com/plainlabelpodcast and choose from over 180,000 audio programs. Download a title for free and start listening. It's that easy. Go to audibletrial.com/plainlabelpodcast and get started today. In our next film, that's good, right? I have to speak so much in class now. It's like, ooh, I can get this talking thing is easy. I got this talking down real good. So our next film is Rachel's pick. It is from 2002 and it is called City of God.
Nominated for 4 Academy Awards, including Best Director and Best Adapted Screenplay. Rio de Janeiro. The beach, the nightlife, the romance. But 15 miles from paradise is a place called the City of God. A place where one man must infiltrate a war between two crime lords to tell a story the world needs to know.
During their childhood, several children being raised in one of the violent neighborhoods of Rio de Janeiro see galling and nettlesome behaviors that turn some criminals and some into criminals, wow, and some into poltroons. I don't know what that word is, just saying. While one photographer boy in the middle stays out of their informal war until it's finished and then narrates the complicated story of whatever that happened. In that neighborhood and the ascending process of crime between men who were once innocent children. That, sir, was horrible.
Okay, so now this one, there's about 6 or 7 different IMDb plot summaries over on their site. And
the shittiest one.
I found this one and was like, oh, that is just too good. Rachel read that one.
What is poltroons? I'm assuming it's like a head boss of something.
I don't know.
Googling.
It's nothing you want to be, I would imagine.
Maybe. It sounds like something cool. I'm going to be a poltroon.
Yeah, I want to be one of them poltroons. That'd be cool.
An utter coward. I don't want to be that. I am that.
You're like, oh, done. Got it. Nailed it.
Yep.
All right, so City of God. This is a movie that I had seen before, and when we were sort of going back and forth about different options, I'd said, well, you could pick this one. This might be a good pick, right?
Yeah.
So this is technically your film. So this is, this is an Eric's picking the movies kind of an episode, but this was A first watch for you, I'm guessing. So what did you make of your selection?
It was nuts. It was definitely, for me, one of the Stay With You movies. Like, I thought about it later.
Yes.
For several reasons. And so I wouldn't be like, oh my gosh, what a great family film. But
right.
It definitely showed some points that, you know, you just know that's happening. But if you see it like this, you're just like, what in the hell? I liked the way it was kind of separated into stories.
Yes.
And then how they all came together. It almost gave it, like, I don't want to use the word, like, fun, but it gave it kind of an upbeat way of telling a very horrifying story, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, here's a story of this and a story of this, because that's kind of a cheeky way to tell story anyway. And even though the story was just awful. And so that's my initial take on it, I guess.
Yeah, I think that going off of what you just said, that the way that it's presented has to be that way, because otherwise it's 2.5 hours of just the worst shit. And yeah. you would feel so bad.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh yeah, okay, more kids being terrible, oh, this world's doomed, you know, and you're just like, oh, this is the worst.
Yes. But
because they continue to use this upbeat Brazilian theme, as it keeps saying, it keeps calling it different, like upbeat theme, suspenseful theme, you know, on the,
yeah,
on the captions, but because they keep doing it that way and they keep saying, oh, the story about Knockout Nick. Oh,
yeah.
Here's the story about the '70s. Here's this part about this. And because they do it in that way, and it's got it's a little bit of a disjointed feeling. It's a little bit of a, here's just a little chapter of this story. Mm-hmm. And here's another chapter, and here's this. And oh, we'll get to that later. Don't worry. And here's this story first. And with the way that they told it, I was just absolutely hooked. And when I first watched this, I'm pretty sure that this was another one of the 365 and 365
mm-hmm.
Movies. And I remember watching this later on in the year, probably around November, December, when, I mean, it was getting rough then, Cruz, because I was like, holy fuck, what do I pick? Like, yeah. I don't care. This looks interesting, because I just saw the, you know, the box or the cover.
Sure.
I was like, well, I don't know what this is, whatever. And it had said that it was, you know, highly suggested that I would like it. And I remember watching that and starting it at like, you know, midnight. And that was a late time for me to start a movie. And I'm like, oh, I'll just watch an hour, maybe half yeah. hour. And I ended up staying up and watching it all and was like, holy shit. Because I just couldn't stop looking at all of the terrible things that were happening.
Right.
It made me feel like I was being a ignorant, ugly American, but I was fascinated by it. Like, it was kind of like, oh man, I don't know any of this shit. Like, I don't know anything about Brazil right. and Rio de Janeiro. And
I was mad about having to have chicken nuggets tonight. Oh yeah, yeah, that's probably.
I was like, I had leftovers and I was so pissed. Yeah. And wow, these kids have it rough, you know? And I was just really engaged with the kids. But what were you going to say there before I ran all over you?
Well, I took basically notes.
On no, this I didn't movie. Take any for this either.
Because first of all, it was captioned, which I wasn't mad about. But I didn't want to look away is like a weird thing to say, but like I didn't want to miss anything, sure. I guess.
Yeah, you can't just listen to a dialogue heavy scene. You have to be
watching
it all the time, yeah.
Right. And you know, along with the way that it was presented, the fact that it was presented disjointedly and first person through like I would say unreliable narrator a little bit, was also like really captivating also, because he's in the middle of it. And you know, when he's younger, he thinks that the kids that are like robbing things are kind of heroes. And then as he gets older, he gets a little more knowledge. And so You know, it was not only all these bad things are happening, but it was his journey and his choices that he made to not do what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought that, you know, and then it's just so weird. Like, he gets to the paper and you're like, is this a real place? Cause it looks so like American looking. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
it doesn't
look like anything. And then you're almost in with him to the point where when they ask him where he got these pictures, you're like, these people are fucking stupid. Obviously they don't know anything. Which, like, normally we are like you said, ugly on the other end of that. Like, can you get back in there? We need a story. And you're like, don't send him in, you know? So, like, by the time it got to that, I was completely immersed and I was like, you people don't know what you're talking about. I know all about Rio de Janeiro. I know all the ins and outs.
You can't send him in there. Yeah.
Yeah. So, it really did hook me. The whole thing, every aspect of it was just like, cheesy piece. So.
Yeah. I don't know that I've ever disliked a little kid more than Lil Dice.
Oh, my God.
When he was a little kid.
When he just, like, went in, because you know, I mean, I'm sure that you knew, too, when everybody gets shot in the hotel, you immediately knew it was that kid, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because, you know, he's just, like, this little shit. And he goes in, and I'm like, oh, man, someone should smack you. And then, you know, they're like, oh, here, just take this gun and shoot something in case something goes wrong and the cops show up. And then they show everyone dead, and I'm like, this little fucker.
Yeah, and then later they just show him in there with a giant gun, like, shooting people and smile, like,
oh, laughing about it and
psychopath.
Ooh, man, I mean, he was really good, and that was the thing I was so impressed by, was, you know, with it being a foreign film, I don't know if all of these people are professional actors or if they're non-professional or what.
Yeah, you know?
And so I was like, wow, all of these guys are really good. Like, all of these kids are very convincing at being little fuckheads,
right? You know?
You know, when they have the little kids that are raiding places before they get shot and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, God, fuck all these little kids. You know, and then one of them, it's like, oh, do you want to be shot in the hand and the foot? That thing.
Yes.
And they choose hand and they shoot him in the foot. And I was like, oh, no, this is terrible. I want to see this little kid get picked on anymore.
And he was sobbing. I was like, oh, geez. Like,
yeah. How do you do that as a little kid, though?
Like, I was thinking,
how do
that.
You get that upset?
Man. First of all, they gave him an ice cream and they took the ice cream away. And then they stomped on his foot.
They showed him America and they said, you're never going here.
You're never going
here. You're never going to make it.
Look at this guy eating butter as a side.
Look at this fat American just sitting there whining that his DVR isn't working.
Seriously, though. One of my nitpicky points is on Netflix, and I think on the front of the movie cover, it's like, what's the main kid's name?
Rocket.
Rocket. Yeah, that's a sweet name, by the way. Rocket Zelag sounds real cool.
Oh, absolutely.
He's on the front with that girl, and that girl's in like four scenes.
Yeah, that was interesting. I was wondering about that too, because it's very set up to be, you know, she's with the stupid ginger.
Oh, man.
Ooh, that guy's a rough one. And not because he's not good, just because he's so irritating.
Yeah. And he's like on so many drugs.
he's on all the drugs because marijuana is not good enough. He wants cocaine and then he wants to do all this other stuff. And then they're doing several lines at a time later. And I'm like, wow, that's someone's ODing, like, right away, right? Like, someone's going to OD in the next scene, right?
This is the Pulp Fiction needle to the heart scene next, I can tell.
And so she's with that dumbass, and then Benny comes in, and at first I was like, well, fuck this Benny guy. She's supposed to be with Rocket. And then later, you know, once they get into the 70s, I was like, oh, no, Benny's good. Like, look how cool he is.
Yeah, he's so cool.
And I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, like, he's all right.
Well, because, like, first of all, that girl had no interest in Rocket except for the fact that he could get her drugs. Like, obviously, she's kind of a trampy little girl. And I thought that too, but then Benny just turned out to be like so cool that you're like, all right, Benny.
It's fine. Yeah, it's good. You're good. And then they're all friends. And it's like, oh, he's the third wheel, but he doesn't mind because he likes his DJing, you know. And oh, they're getting him. They got him a camera. Oh, good for him.
They're friends. Bam, bam, bam.
Yeah, and fucking Benny gets shot, and you're like, what? Oh, no. Everything is working out perfect. God, I hate this ZZ guy, or, you know, whatever his name is. Little Z.
Yeah, and I thought that Benny, like, turning into that, like, sweet guy with the Hawaiian shirts, that was going to be the start of, like, their riff. But, like, they just laughed it off, and that didn't matter at all.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the scenes that scared me the most is when Lil Z or whatever asked that girl to dance.
Oh, yes.
And you could see, like, that he was vulnerable. And, like, I was like, bad idea. Like, I would, like, just, you could tell, that, like, the tension was building and that something super horrible was going to happen. Because, like, he doesn't take rejection. He doesn't take people not taking him seriously and respecting him. Like, so, like, I knew that was going to end very horribly.
Yeah, and that's almost in the same sequence there, and that is definitely where it's like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, that boyfriend, something bad's going to happen to him. You know, you knew, especially when she said that she was with somebody, I was like, oh, man, now that's the equivalent of, like, you better watch out, my boyfriend's going to beat you up, you know, to some huge dude, and then you walk up and you're like, oh, damn it, now I'm going to get my ass kicked, you know.
Or die
in this case, yeah. So, yeah, I thought that was, I did like that sequence too. I did like that, you know, Lil Z wasn't, they weren't shy about saying that he was supposed to be not very good looking.
He's ugly. They said he was ugly.
Yeah. Did you recognize, I don't know if you, recognized her or not, but the girl from City of God that's a little trampy, she was the main girl in Elysium with Matt Damon, where it's the white man saving all the brown people. She was one of the moms from the little kid that was...
Oh, I never saw Elysium.
Oh. You never saw it?
I don't think
so. Oh, jeez.
Is that where he's, like, poor? No, I watched that.
Poor and he's got the exoskeleton thing.
Got it.
Yeah, yeah, and there's the kid that he's always trying to help out, and she's the mom.
Oh.
So there you go.
So she's not dead.
No. And, you know, that was the thing that was weird, is I kept waiting for her to be shot, like, right out in the open, or, you know, I expected something terrible to happen to her, and she just kind of disappears.
Yeah, well, I mean, she gets horribly raped by, like, five people,
Well, that's true.
It's pretty traumatizing, if you ask me, but I would disappear after that, too.
Well, you know, and that's the thing where sometimes I lose track of what horrible thing is happening to which person. Because I was getting the knockout Ned's wife when she's raped mixed up. I was like, wait a minute.
Oh, I'm sorry. So was I. Yeah.
And I was like, I'm pretty, well, cause when you're saying that, I was like, I don't know. I think she just disappears. I think that's.
She does. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I was like, Benny's gone and she. But regardless, because there's all these things that happened when I first saw it. And I remember, first time around thinking that the, whatever the trio is called when Rocket and Benny and all them are young, old brothers like Shaggy and those guys. I remember thinking that sequence was much longer than it actually ended up being. Because I was like, oh no, they spend like half of the movie.
Oh yeah.
You know, is what I was remembering. And then I was like, oh shit, that's only like, you know, 30, 40 minutes or so. That's not half. So it's just weird how you remember things just slightly different. And I think part of it is because the film has the structure that it does.
Yeah.
Because I can't
imagine. Let me think. Out of the three of those, doesn't everyone die? No, wait. Yes.
Well, not Rocket. He's all right.
No, but like Rocket's older brother dies.
Out of yes. All of those three do. Sure. Yeah.
What happened to the third one? The one guy obviously tries to leave with his girlfriend and gets shot down.
What about the guy that's sleeping with?
No, the one guy went to Jesus and he lived, right? Yeah. So just the two guys died. That scene where he was like getting ready to leave with his girlfriend who was pregnant, I believe. And like you're watching him run behind the car and get shot. You're like, God, fuck, really? God. it's hard to watch.
Yeah.
You can't not watch it.
What did you think of the banana sequence, Cruz?
Oh my god, that was really funny.
I was
like thinking of you giggling about that.
And I thought that was so good because that was so desperately what the film needs is some occasional lightheartedness.
Right.
And what's great about it is the kids, especially when in the sequence in the 70s, they're having an okay time. Like, they're enjoying being youthful and doing drugs and, you know, growing up.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not as miserable as it seems later on in the film or at the very beginning in different ways when they're doing these terrible things as little kids. And so I'm like, oh, okay. You know, and I kind of forget things that happened a few minutes ago. And I'm more focused on, like, moment to moment.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this isn't so bad. Look at this place. Oh, shit, the beach. Oh, man, this is a good time. Oh, yeah, fuck.
The beach looks amazing. You can ditch school and go to the beach. We could go to, like, Pizza Hut or something. but I do think that before, like, that little tyrant got a hold of things, like, even the way the movie is shot, like, when they're little... There are big skies, things are bright and open, and most of the scenes.
Beautiful, yeah.
Yeah. And most of the scenes with, little Z, it's like, I wouldn't say urban, but it's like dirty streets, more building, you know, like less, it's like more confined, more people, you know, people around. And so, it just looks more corrupt and more scary and things like that.
I was reading here. They're talking about some of the acting coaches and they would increase the tension between some of the characters by having one of them, bully the other before their actual scenes together.
What?
Yeah. Let's see. It is, it doesn't give their names. It doesn't give their translated names, but it says that in order to increase the tension between, and then two different names, they told the teenager of one of them to bully the kid for 15 days. In the scene where one slaps the other, the actor started crying and threatened to abandon the movie. So the angry look that he gives to the guy is real. I gotta figure out. I gotta keep switching back and forth to see who these
that's
are.
That's kind of an effed up social experiment, if you ask me.
Yeah, it is.
I'm just saying, you can't be a method actor if it's not your choice.
Mariko and Hino. So it's little Dice, or little Dice, and the other one. Shit, I don't know where it is. But anyway, little Dice was the. Was the one that was getting picked on. Is that little kid?
Ugh.
So it must have been when the older kid, like with Shaggy and all them, when he goes and he smacks him after he shot up the motel, but nobody knows that it was little Dice that did it.
Oh.
And it's when he goes and slaps him right there. It was that sequence.
So
the old kid was picking on this little kid.
That's so horrible.
Mm-hmm.
That's not right.
It's art, Cruz.
Oh, barf. That's what I think.
Barf on your art.
Yeah. Art barf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is an interesting production because this did well. You know, City of God. And then there is also a City of Men that was a TV show in Brazil. And let's see if I can pull it up here. City of Men TV series. It's a four season show that ran from 03 to 06 right after this. And it says, let's see. Yeah. So it's basically told the same way. It's just in four seasons of a TV show instead.
It's the same story.
And then there's City of Men, an actual, I don't know if it's a sequel necessarily, but it's another film that's also about Rio de Janeiro.
And then there's City of Angels, a shitty movie with Nicolas Cage.
That's slightly different. Oh. Little different.
Sorry, I thought it was like a trilogy or something.
That would be interesting. Yeah.
Nick Cage just shows up. What is going on here?
Oh man, that would be terrible. I can't even think of a good Nick Cage line to make that funny, but that would just be awful.
I know. I just keep thinking we've gone too far, but that's Keanu Reeves.
I just keep thinking of him. I keep thinking of people reacting to him with the "Son, you got a panty on your head." Stuff like that. I think that still might be one of my favorite Nick Cage movies, is Raising Arizona.
It's definitely one of my favorites.
It's really good. Yeah, we did that a long time ago.
Yeah, I need that ringtone song as my
ringtone. Yeah. I was gonna say I'm not gonna risk it, but it is good. All right. Well, anything else about City of God or Donnie Brasco or anything like that?
I would definitely recommend people watch City of God. It is I just think definitely something that people need to see.
Yeah, it's one of those where it's a little bit of a hard sit, because yeah. I was like squirmish and squeamish and going like, ah, shit, do I need to, I forgot about this, you know, and I felt like I was continually engaged based on the way that they told the story and the performances and the fact that I was, the film was able to pull so much hatred out of me for that one character.
Yes.
And, you know, even though Carrot and Knockout Ned aren't necessarily good guys, I'm like, oh, fuck that little Z guy. You know, like, go get him. Take care of him.
How nuts was that, though, the karma bit with Knockout Ned?
Oh, yeah.
How he didn't want to shoot innocent people, and then he turned into a gangster, and it came back on him. Like, that part, I was like, oh, God, quit it.
Yeah, the first guy he shoots, right?
Yeah.
The bank. And then the little kid gets him.
Well, you could tell that kid was shady when he came in to get a gun. I mean, are they doing background checks on these little kids?
It's like, all right, I'm going to need 2 to 3 days for processing.
Yeah.
Come back and get it.
But he gave him the gun that he shot him with. So, I mean, that to me was like, oh, jeez.
You know what's funny is you can tell how that's set up, because they don't show his face. They kind of keep him in shadows. And I'm like, okay, well, this is either a little Z guy or this is something.
Right. Right. You know? Agreed.
And then I do like that, because otherwise you're like, what the fuck? Why did he shoot? What's going on?
Yeah.
You know, and he does just get kind of randomly shot. But I'm in a place where I'm like, this is the worst fucking place for me to live. And then I'm like, wait a minute. It wouldn't be that bad, because I'd just be in my basement all the time. I wouldn't really do anything still, you know, but so I do like that. And then I also liked how, you know, little Z finally got his. Where he's, you know, incarcerated.
Yes!
And you're like, this fucker, like, he's going to get away with that. And then the little kids fucking do him. So.
Yeah. And then the interview, the actual interview with Knockout Ned at the end was like, it was verbatim what he said, which is nuts.
Yeah. It was crazy. Yeah. That was a good one. That was definitely one where. Once I remembered it, because I saw it just scrolling through Netflix one day, I was like, ooh, shit, I gotta find out a way to get that on the show sometime.
Yeah. You know? I mean, technically, I would say it was a mob.
Yeah, they got two different gangs, basically, and Lil Z had his little mob going, I'd say. Gang, mob, I mean, it kind of borders on both.
How crazy is that, though, that you literally just shoot everybody that you're against? Like, that's all he did.
Yeah.
There wasn't any strategy to it. It was just like, I'm going to shoot everybody.
I've got all the bullets.
I mean, it worked, but I'm just saying. Okay.
There you go. All right, well, why don't you, I think I'm good, so why don't you wrap us up there, Cruz?
Fine, I will. Boss me around. If you have any comments for the show or movies that you'd like to hear us talk about, please email us at plainlabelpodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow the show over at Twitter. It's French. At Plain Label Pod, where you can follow us at EricWilliams79, and I am at LadyZelag, S-Z-E-L-A-G, for the layman. We also have a Facebook page where you can like the show, just search Plain Label Podcast. And I know you want to help us out a bit because it's Christmas time. And if you don't want us to hear us sing Christmas carols on the next show, then you should go to Amazon.com and search for our wish list. It's full of the movies we want, equipment we need, and a whole host of other goodies if you're in the giving mood. So search for the wish list called Plain Little Podcast. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back in 2 weeks with more movies about the mob.